like to study words in the Bible. And when I do that, I notice how often we use words incorrectly. And nobody uses words more incorrectly than I do. I catch myself saying things, I shouldn't have said that. That's not the right thing to say, and that's not how it should be said. And it, I pray that we get better than that, better with that. But the word mercy and grace, very few Christians understand the difference between mercy and grace. And these have verses on them of what mercy and grace is. And before we get that, I want you to turn to Hebrews chapter number 4 tonight. Hebrews chapter number 4. I want to give you something to consider this evening. Hebrews chapter number 4. In Hebrews chapter 4, I won't read the entire verse. There's just one, or the entire chapter. There's just one verse I want to share with you. But before we get to that verse, let me explain, and you can kind of skim through Hebrews chapter number 4 and see that it speaks of the origin of the Sabbath day. Sabbath means the day of rest. Consider the fellowship that Adam and Eve knew with God on that first Sabbath day. When God created all things, then they were freshly created, and then God said, let's rest together. Let's fellowship together. And then it speaks of the rest that David sought. And to consider the fellowship that David shared with his God. Think of the mercy that David understood. David committed some unthinkable sins. I'm sure he was grateful for God's mercy. And then I'm sure he was thankful for God's grace. The difference between them, we'll come back to in a little bit. And then the chapter speaks of the rest that Jesus gives. The rest for today, not just the rest in the sweet by and by. You know, we think, sing sometimes, and we think sometimes, well, when we all get to heaven, we're going to sit down to rest. We're going to enjoy that rest. And no, God gives us a rest today in His grace. The rest that's found in His mercy and His grace. Oh, if we could understand that. When Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He's talking about a present rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. The rest that he's speaking of is the rest of the grace of God. In other words, it's no longer me trying to do what God wants me to do. It's me dying to myself and letting his grace live in me. Letting him pick me up and transform, just like he did at salvation. God wants us to understand that grace. We didn't save ourselves. We can't keep ourselves saved. We can't live the Christian life apart from Him. It's all because of His grace. Now look at verse number 16, if you will. In Hebrews chapter number 4, verse number 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace. Come boldly unto the throne of grace. That doesn't mean, as I hear my Pentecostal friends say, we need to boss God around. We need to tell God. No, that means come honestly, hiding behind nothing. To come with no false pretense, with no hypocritical ideas in our own life, thinking that we are somebody. No, just about, God, I'm nothing. Come to that throne of grace that we may obtain, notice this, mercy. And find grace to help in our time of need. God wants us to, first of all, come boldly to the very throne of grace. The very place where, you know, I've seen this statement a lot recently in different things that I've been reading, and I think I even saw it on Facebook. And some folks, that's about as deep as they get, theologically, sad to say. There's a difference when we're walking with God, there's a difference, and I'm not sure exactly how to word this, the way I've seen it written a few different ways. There's a big difference between when we do something wrong and we're under conviction, the natural thing is to run from God. But the thing we ought to do is run to God. Because it's at that throne of grace where we first of all obtain mercy. Mercy is God not giving us what we deserve. You know, sometimes folks are afraid to come to Dad to tell them what they did wrong, and we're afraid to come to God to tell them what we did wrong. But in reality, God already knows what we did wrong. And when we come to Him, He's not there to judge us. He's not there to destroy us. He's not there to snuff us out. He's there to show us mercy. And then He's there to show us grace. And oh, what a difference. And we will find grace. Notice what it says in Hebrews 4:16. Grace to help in our time of need. Grace to pick us up and make us what we could not be on our own. We obtain mercy, and mercy and grace work together. They are opposites, but they work together. And when we find mercy, we can also find God's grace. And that's why I put on the coin there, on one side, mercy, and on the other side, grace. And remember the definitions of Scripture that I gave you for mercy. In Lamentations 3:21 through 23, read the verse with me, or quote it if you memorize it. I encourage you to memorize this. If you're going to use this, you're going to have to memorize the verses if you want to use it effectively to folks. In Lamentations 3, verses 21 through 23, it shows us what mercy is all about. Read it with me. This I recall to mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is Thy faithfulness. It's of the Lord's... Oh, Lamentations 3, 21 through 23. Thank you, Todd. And he gets an apple for the day. He's a good student. Todd's probably never heard that in his entire life. He's a good student. I bet you never heard that at a parent-teacher conference, did you, Linda? Oh, he's such a good student. For auto mechanics, he gets student of the month. I have a son like that. Didn't know he could read till he started taking mechanics classes. Wow. Other than he could read the sports pages too, but then we found out he could read also when it came to and get A's in classes too. But anyway, that's another subject. But God's mercy, it's of the Lord's mercies. When we sin, we need His mercy. And when we find His mercy, He's not only there to offer us mercy, but on the other side, He offers us grace. Grace is not the same as mercy. And you understand the difference in the verse on the other side of the coin in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2, 8 through 10. There, I said it that time. And I got a thumbs up from my ace student up here. God's mercy and God's grace, the two work hand in hand. My message tonight is simply this. That's mercy. No, that's grace. Well, that's mercy. No, that's grace. Which one is it? Is it mercy or grace? When we sin, when we do wrong, we need God's mercy, and then we will find God's grace. It's of the Lord's mercies that we're not consumed. God doesn't judge us because of His mercy. God doesn't punish us. He disciplines us, but He doesn't punish us. But God's mercies are new. Now, every time I sin, He could rightfully just destroy. The wages of sin is death. How many sins do we have to commit before we're worthy of death? Just one. If Jesus would have sinned one time, He could not have paid for our sin. He was completely sinless. Every time I sin, which is about every time I take a breath, about every second I sin. Sometimes I notice my sin, sometimes I don't. Some folks say, well, I haven't sinned in the last 10 days. You just haven't seen your sin. You're blinded by your pride. But it's of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed. Now, grace is an empowering word that gives us victory over that sin. That's mercy. No, that's grace. That's grace. No, that's mercy. And dear God, I need grace. No, I need mercy. But I find mercy when I find grace. I find grace when I find mercy. That's mercy that I need. No, that's grace that I need. And we could look at that thing backwards and forwards. And again, I encourage you, because many Christians, I'm in this day that we live in today, we live in such spiritual apathy that folks don't have time to study the Bible, don't have time to dig into the Word of God, and we really don't have any time. We've got time for everything else. We've got time when folks say, well, I can't memorize Scripture, but you can memorize movie lines, you can memorize songs, you can memorize this and that, but you can do what you want to do, and especially when we're talking about God's grace. But God's mercy does not give me what I deserve, but His grace gives me far more than I deserve and more than I can do on my own. It's His mercies that we're not consumed, but it's His grace that gives us victory. Now, mercy is forgiveness of sin. Grace is victory over sin. Well, that's an important thing right there. And again, they're used interchangeably, wrongfully so, but they do work hand in hand. Forgiveness of sin is God's mercy. And the victory over that sin is God's grace. Now, remember, when it comes to salvation, God brings conviction of sin. And we cry out to God for mercy. God, be merciful unto me, a sinner. We're crying out for mercy. And when we come to Him crying out for mercy, what's He give us? He gives us grace. And He said, I will make you a new person in Christ Jesus. I will transform your life. I will make you a child of God. And all those things that I read, plus you could probably come up with more things. In fact, I read the list earlier to my wife, and she started rattling off a couple others. I said, slow down. I got to write them down. All the things that God did at that moment of salvation, we just cried out for mercy. And He gave us mercy, but then He also gave us grace. I'll make you a new creature in Christ Jesus. I'll transform your life. Salvation comes because of a conviction of sin where we cry out for mercy, and then a transformation which is a trophy of grace. The young man that I mentioned earlier that was here visiting this morning that I knew many years ago, and I lost contact with him and didn't even recognize him when he came in. This morning, I recognized his wife because she's been down a couple of times to get a dress fitted and things. So I recognized who she was. But he's saying in his testimony, I'm just a trophy of God's grace. And the reality is, if you're saved, you are a trophy of God's grace. And I thought, I used to hear my pastor say that all the time. I know where that term came from. God's grace, God's transforming power is God's grace. God forgiving my sin, that's not grace, that's mercy. And sometimes we say, well, I believe in the grace of God, that God forgave me of my sin. No, that's the mercy of God. The grace of God is when He makes us a new creation in Christ Jesus. And we could go on through life and understanding this. And boy, I could name your sin. We could play a game here, name your sin. And we call to God for mercy. And when we call to Him with the right spirit for mercy, He gives us His grace. What's that mean? I've shared often that I used to, as a new Christian, I struggled with when I'd get upset, I'd let words go that I knew a Christian shouldn't be saying those words. Now, it's been at least a week since I've said any of those words, so we're okay now. I'm just kidding. But I grew up, when you get upset, you say things and you do things that you lose your temper, you lose your composure, and you say things and do things that I can't believe I just did that. And I'd feel so guilty as a Christian. I said, God, I'm not going to do it anymore. God, forgive me. I need your mercy. Would you forgive me of my foul language? And I said, I'll do better tomorrow. But I found out I couldn't do better tomorrow. Oh, no, I messed up the next day. And Lord, tomorrow will be a better day. I'm going to get up and pray. I'm going to get up and talk to you. I'm going to get up and promise you I won't let it happen today. And then the devil will do something and I'll lose it again. And finally I said, you know what? That's just a part of me. Maybe that's what God's talking about. That's my besetting sin. That's just something I have to live with for the rest of my life. I can't get victory over it. God, I'm sorry, but that's all we can do. But then I was introduced to God's grace. And God just took it away when I just learned to walk with Him. That's God's grace. You say, well, I've got a problem with the bottle. Well, I hope not. I've got a drinking problem, but it's usually because I slobber water on myself when I drink. I've got a problem over time. God, show me Your mercy. God, that's worthy. That's a terrible sin. It's a terrible life to live. And we cry out for mercy, but God says, I not only want to give you My mercy, I want to give you grace. I'm going to make you sober. Now, the world says once you're a drunk, you're always a drunk. But God says, I can give you grace. He gave you victory over that. God gives not only mercy, but grace. And how many sins do Christians justify? Well, God's forgiven me. It's all under the blood. I can live anyway. Why don't you find the grace of God? You know what God's mercy is. What about God's grace? They're not the same thing. And they talk about the grace of, well, bless God and His grace. He's forgiven me. No, His grace wants to deliver you from that besetting sin. His mercy forgives you, but His grace wants to deliver you. What about my impure thoughts? Lord, You don't know what... Lord knows what I'm thinking. Preachers don't struggle with that. Oh, yeah, they do. If you only knew what goes through our mind. And all of us, I'm glad that nobody can read my mind but God. I'm glad the devil doesn't even know what I'm thinking sometimes. By the way, don't tell him what you're thinking, because then he knows. He can't read your mind. He's not omnipotent. He's not omniscient like God is, but God knows our thought. And we thought, oh, that's a terrible thought. God, show me mercy, but more than that, show me grace. Show me mercy that You forgive me, that You won't hold me accountable for that sin. And I'm glad that He doesn't hold us accountable for that sin, but He also offers us grace to get us victory over those thoughts. The besetting sins, and we could go on and naming the sins, and we've all have sins that we've learned to justify and say, well, of God's grace, God will accept me. No, that's His mercy that accepts you. His grace wants to deliver you. Amen? And that doesn't mean we're all going to be sinlessly perfect, because I found out by experience, as soon as you get victory over one sin, you start to see six other ones. Okay, now we need deliverance for that. It's a lifelong process, because we have a sinful body. We have a sin nature. And we need God's mercy. And God not only offers us mercy, but He offers us grace. And thank God for His mercy and His grace. Come to the throne of grace that you may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. To help you get over. You're not going to do it on your own. But there is a rest for the people of God. And we found that rest in Hebrews chapter number 4. And that rest is in Jesus' grace. Not only in His mercy, but in His grace. How He can transform us. He can save us. And He can transform our life. The besetting sins. What about the grieving the Holy Spirit? Now that I've got this little problem, it's, some folks blame it on, it's a generational thing. It's something my parents struggle with, something I struggle with. It's always been a part of my life. I guess I'm just going to have to live with it. I've got an angry spirit. I've got a bitter attitude. I've got a critical spirit. Or I get offended easy. I get upset. Those are grieving the Holy Spirit. God doesn't want us to live that way. And we say, God, I'm sorry. I shouldn't have lost my temper. I shouldn't have done that. God, give me Your mercy. And pleading for mercy, He'll also give you grace. It's available at the throne of grace. The same place you find mercy, I'm going to drop it, you can find grace. Now I've got to flip it backwards, because this one's kind of cattywampus here. That's an official term. Did you know that? It's next to kitty corner. You can't be kitty corner, because there's no corners on here. It's just cattywampus. When we find mercy, we can also find grace. Mercy's always... Now, we understand mercy's available. God forgives us of our sin. Amen? But grace is also available. We can find mercy at the throne. And they're both found at the throne of grace. We can obtain mercy and we can find grace to help in our time of need. And we don't have to live under that bondage of anger, of bitterness, of being offended, or being melancholy, which is something I struggled with. And we don't have to live that way. God will give us mercy when we recognize it as a sin and then come to Him for grace. He'll get us over that. And isn't it amazing how our world today, and we can look at, and I know a lot of Christians that need this as much as lost people. God can give you mercy, but He can also give you grace. Mercy and grace are not the same thing. Now, most of the time we talk about God's grace, we're really talking about God's mercy. Grace is the ability to overcome. Mercy is the forgiveness of that sin. The mercy is always available. We can obtain mercy, but we can also find grace. And that grace, notice what Hebrews 4 says, grace to help in our time of need. I can't do it, but God, You can do it in me. And we hear a lot of folks talking about, well, I believe in the grace of God, and you know, that doesn't justify sin. The grace of God gives us victory over that sin. What about quenching the Holy Spirit? Oh, I know I ought to pray. I can remember, and even still, you remember when Jesus told His disciples, come over with me in the garden and let's pray. Jesus went and prayed for an hour and came back and found the disciples doing what most of us would be doing if somebody's praying for an hour. They're sawing logs. They're sound asleep. And all that sin of prayerlessness. John R. Rice used to preach a lot about prayerlessness, the sin of prayerlessness. Wrote a lot of books on the sin of prayerlessness. And I'm thankful for Brother Beckham and his messages on the prayer life and how important it is to pray. And I find that the easiest thing in my Christian life to neglect is my prayer time. And God, forgive me for my prayerlessness. God, I'm going to do better. I'll get up earlier and try to pray more tomorrow morning. I get up earlier and fall asleep as soon as I kneel down and pray. God, I need Your mercy, but I also need Your grace. I need Your grace to teach me to pray. Lord, teach me how to pray. I don't know how to pray. I've learned so much in prayer in my own life in the last few years since I've been praying. Lord, teach me how to pray. The sin of neglecting our Bible. These are, we talk about the sins of grieving the Holy Spirit. We also quench the Holy Spirit. God wants us to do things, but we got more important things to do. We can't do that, and we're quenching the Holy Spirit. We're saved to fellowship with God. If you're never talking to somebody, you really don't have much fellowship. My wife and I have been married for a long time. I ran out of fingers. I don't know how many years we've been married. But if we never talked to each other, we wouldn't have much of a relationship. And the more we communicate, the more we spend time together and share thoughts and emotions and share life together, the more we communicate to each other, the closer our fellowship becomes. And it ought to be growing greater every year. And our walk with God is a walk of fellowship with Him. If we're not communicating with Him, we're not in the Bible, we're not praying, those are sins of quenching the Holy Spirit. Oh, He wants that fellowship. He longs to walk with us. He longs to fellowship with us. And we hear from Him when we get into the Word of God, when we memorize and meditate on Scripture and read and study the Word of God, and we talk to Him in prayer and have that open communication line, and we're meditating on the things of God all of the time. And even during our daily activities, we're thinking of a verse that God gave us that morning, or singing a song that God gave us. Sometimes I catch myself singing to the Lord and I don't even realize I'm doing it. You ever embarrass yourself like that? I didn't realize I was singing. Just constantly talking to the Lord. But God wants to have that fellowship, but sometimes we quench it. God, not now. Don't bother me now. And you realize, God, I've not been with you like I should. God, forgive me. We ask for His mercy. And God says, hey, I'll give you more than that. I'll give you grace. Let's sit down and talk right now. Let's sit down and have fellowship right now. Hey, get into your Bible and let me show you something there. You know, when I read the Bible, I just picture God sitting right next to me and He's saying, hey, look at this one right there. Oh, wow, that's amazing, God. Did you see that? Of course you saw that. You wrote it. You told me about it. You told me to look at it. Wow, isn't that good, God? And when we're not having that fellowship, we're quenching the Holy Spirit. He wants that fellowship with us. Instead, we're, you know, like the kids. Not our kids, but you see kids in the world. You see marriages. I hope not our marriages. Well, I don't have time to talk to you now. I'm too busy now. I'm too focused on this. God, I'm just going to put you aside. We're quenching the Holy Spirit. We're grieving Him by sin. We're quenching Him by when God says, hey, there's somebody over there that needs the gospel. Why don't you go tell them about Jesus? Why don't you go tell them how to be saved? What if they reject me? What if they laugh at me? And we don't realize we're quenching the Holy Spirit. I heard a testimony today that God brought somebody to life and said, oh, you prayed, God, bring me somebody I can share the gospel with today. And God, somebody just stopped by that you've been praying for. And then they leave it. Well, dummy, duh, there they were. Thank God that they came back and you got a second chance. But sometimes, I can't tell you how many times I've met people in town and I'm called to do a funeral for somebody that has no church. And there's a loose connection to our church, a family member or whatever, and I go to the cemetery and think, I remember trying to share the gospel with them. Maybe I should have pushed a little bit harder. Maybe I should have pleaded a little bit stronger. Maybe I should have prayed a little bit more. God, I quenched the Holy Spirit. If I would have heard you when you said this is their last opportunity. Now, we don't always know when their last opportunity is. But if God's leading you to share the gospel with someone and you're not doing it, we just quenched the Holy Spirit. Somebody comes to Sunday school, and we don't know, these kids that come to Sunday school on the bus or traveling through or whatever, and we don't know, this might be the last time we have to sit down and share the gospel with them. Let's take advantage of that. God, forgive me for not sharing the gospel, but God says, I'm not only going to offer you mercy, I'm not only going to forgive you, but I'll offer you grace. And the next one that comes by, you'll know to trust me more. To trust me just to just say something. To take that opportunity to talk to them about Jesus. Grace is not an excuse, but grace is the ability to get victory over sin. Mercy is God overlooking that sin, but grace is God getting us over that sin, over that besetting sin, over that grieving the Holy Spirit because of our sour attitude, because our angry spirit, because our overreaction, because our, you know, there's so much drama in the world today. It's overdramatic. And sometimes I get myself in trouble because people come in all panic and say, don't worry about it. What do you mean don't worry about it? How can you not worry about it? Because we got a God that's in control. What do you mean? Wait a minute. We do have a God that's in control, don't we? And folks are panicked about everything. Trust God. And He will give you grace. We don't have to worry about everything. Be careful for nothing. That's the grace of God that gives us that. The grace of God, the mercy, is God not giving us what we deserve. God forgiving our sin, but grace is more than mercy. Grace is God wanting to get us over that sin, where it's no longer defining us, where it's no longer controlling us, where it's no longer in charge of our life. Well, I just can't do it because, God will give you the grace to do what He wants you to do if you trust in Him. The grace and mercy of God. Isn't it great? God's mercy and God's grace. And oftentimes I hear Christians, sad to say, using God's grace to justify sin in their life. Oh, if you would find the mercy of God, recognize it's God's mercies. It's because of the mercies of God we're not consumed. And then you'll understand something about God's grace that wants to transform you. That we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. We're to be different from the world. And we can only be different from the world by God's grace working in us. Not us. If we're trying to be separated from the world, what's going to happen is the world's going to come over here and we're just going to stay a step behind them and say, well, we're separated from them. But if we understand what God's mercy is, that I don't need that anymore, and God's grace, God's going to take us in a different direction. And the closer we get to God, the less we're going to fit into this world. And the more foreign the things of this world are going to become. The old song says, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this world will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's His grace that transforms us. But if we're just trying to do it on our own, we'll be okay. Well, we're okay over here because we're different than the world. Well, if we're walking in God's grace, we don't have to worry about separating from the world if we're separated unto God. If we're walking with God, we're going to be different than the world. I guarantee you. But sometimes people use, well, we believe in the grace of God. In other words, we can live any way we want to and God's going to overlook it. No, God will overlook it. That's His mercy. But if we got a hold of the grace of God, God would transform our life and draw us closer to Him and give us a new life and make us a new creation in Christ Jesus. That's mercy. No, that's grace. No, that's great. No, that's mercy. The two work hand in hand. Let's make sure we understand what they are. And this is a great tool to remind us the difference between God's grace and, the other side of the coin, God's mercy. And thank God for His mercy and His grace. And thank God that when we come to the throne of God's grace, we can obtain mercy. God gives us mercy. And while we're getting mercy, He can also give us the grace to transform our life. That baby does squeak, doesn't he? Well, let's stand to our feet.